Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. And the reason is just because of unbelief. If you believe your God, anywhere you are, you will serve Him. If you believe your God, anywhere you are, you don't serve Him only on Sunday. You don't serve Him only in the church. You don't serve Him only when you are among brethren. Every opportunity you have to show who you are, you will declare it. And that is Daniel for you. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And so, Hebrews chapter 4, if you read the first two verses there, he spoke how that a rest was promised them, but they could not enter that rest because of unbelief. Because of unbelief. Praise the Lord. And because you will stand for your God, we learn from the book of Daniel chapter 6. They say if they will catch Daniel, they can only get him in the matter of his faith, in the matter of his religion, in the matter of his God. Because you can do anything around him, but when you come around his worship of his God, he is ready for the worst. So if they are going to bring him down, hallelujah, let's attack him in the area of his faith, because he will not bend. And I pray that all believers will look at me and give that type of testimony about my faith in the name of Jesus Christ. That an unbeliever can look at you and say, you take your Christ serious. You take your faith serious. What you believe is not cosmetics. What you believe is not situation. It's not condition that is making you stand where you stand as far as Christianity is concerned. That unbelievers around you will look at you and say, this one, you can't get him. This one, you cannot get him. He is a Christian. And you know that the best person to testify of your Christian faith, amen, is not yourself. You don't go, a Christian does not go about to say, you know, I'm a Christian. Why are you talking like that? Don't you know I'm a Christian? No. It's the life that you live that say whether you are a believer or unbeliever. It is your neighbors. Let me tell you, every day you carry Bible, you are going out. Every day you are praying in your room, it attracts attention. People somewhere are looking at you by the corner. People want to confirm what you are professing. Amen. And it is only when the unbelievers around can testify that you are a Christian that you should beat your chest and be happy that truly you are a Christian. Just like us, the ministers. It is very easy for us to use the anointing to close the mouth of our wives. Amen. It is very easy to use our mouth to close, harass them with anointing, harass them with title. Do you know I'm a pastor? You're looking for trouble with my God? You're talking to me like that? It is your wife that first knows or best knows whether you're a Christian or not. Eh? Brother Charles, am I correct? Eh? It's your wife that knows whether you're a hypocrite or not. It's your wife that knows whether you are truly called or not. It's your wife that knows whether the anointing of you is genuine or not. It is the wife that knows whether you are converted or not. It's your wife that knows whether you even have that ministry or not. By the life that you live. You're a pastor in the church. At home, you're a devil. There are some people that when they are preaching at the pulpit, their wife will say, hey. Actor. Praise the Lord. So we have so much to prove our Christian faith. And Daniel They needed to get him, and they brought about that law that no man should call upon the name of any other god for 30 days. Only the name of the king, Cyrus. And you know, Daniel will not do that. And he continued. He did not. He did not relax. Amen. He didn't give up. Don't let any situation make you give up. I stressed that last week. Praise the Lord. And why we notice that Daniel was actually thrown to the den of lion. We learn this from the outcome of what happened between Daniel and those lions. You will discover, we confirm the scripture in Matthew chapter 10. And please just read it on your own. Let me just paraphrase it. Verse 32 up to verse 39. Verse 32 up to verse 39, Matthew chapter 10. Where he said, if we confess him before men, he, Christ, also confess us before the throne of his Father. If you stand by Jesus here, he will stand for you also before your enemies. Hallelujah. The time for you to deny him, you profess him, you are also inviting him to stand for you in your own moment of a showdown. For he promised us that we neither leave you nor forsake you in Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 5 and verse 6. He assured us he will neither leave us nor forsake us. Hallelujah. Isaiah 43 verse 2 to 4. What did he say? Let's read it. Isaiah 43 verse 2, 3 and 4. This is thus said the Lord. And Isaiah, and Daniel was aware of this promise. When thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee. And did he know, was he not with them through River Jordan and the Red Sea? Hallelujah. He says, and if you pass through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, the three Hebrew children, thou shalt not be burned. Neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. And verse 3, for I am the Lord thy God, the Holy One of Israel, thy Savior. I gave Egypt for thy ransom, Ethiopia and Sheba for thee. And verse 4, since thou was precious, we are precious in his sight. Thou hast been honorable, and I have loved thee. Therefore, will I give men for thee, and people for thy life. Did he do that for Daniel? Did he do that for Daniel? In exchange, those that wanted Daniel to perish, did he not exchange them for Daniel? Instead of the lion to eat up Daniel, he gave men for Daniel. Blessed be the name of the Lord. I believe this scripture should be engraved in the heart of every one of us. I believe this was the assurance Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego had. That was the assurance also that Daniel had. And remember that in Matthew 28 and verse 20, he said, lo, when he said we should go out and preach the gospel to all nations, he ended up in that instruction, lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the world. He will not forsake us. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. If you look at this scripture in Revelation chapter 12, you will see again Daniel confirming this scripture. The overcomers, Daniel. Amen. And verse chapter 12 and verse 10 and verse 11. And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now is come salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of our brethren, the accuser of Daniel, is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. See where he overcame, verse 11. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb. What is the blood of the Lamb? He's talking of a covenant. Daniel had a covenant. In grace, we also have a covenant. The covenant that Daniel had, that David had, that the children of Israel had, is a covenant that God had with Israel, sealed with the circumcision of the flesh. And as long as you are a Jew circumcised, you come under that covenant. God can never forget you. We also in this age, another covenant. This time, God sealed his covenant with us with the blood of his son. Oh, glory be to God. Hallelujah. When you come under that blood, that is why every time the devil has used theologians to downplay the ordinance of water baptism, but our eyes of understanding, he has opened up at last. He has opened them. Our eyes of understanding. How can a preacher of the cross downplay water baptism? Amen. They take their time. All the effort you are using, Oga Pastor, all the effort, the hours you are using to prove that there should be no water baptism, you should have used that to teach water baptism. It's easier to prove water baptism than to disprove water baptism. Praise the Lord. But to tell you where your source is from. You have your father, the devil. It's only that devil that inspired serpent to look at the commandment of God and say to Eve, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. It's another serpent teaching that type of doctrine. And so, the overcoming power first is the fact that you are under a covenant. And, I read it again, verse 11. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. And the word of their testimony here, I have said it several times, is not praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I had HIV before. And now I am free. Praise the Lord. I was poor. Now I have 5 cars. Praise the Lord. I died yesterday. Today I'm alive. Praise the Lord. Betty said, I'm not going to marry. See my husband. How can you overcome with that? If that is the meaning. The word of your testimony is the life they live. They overcome by the covenant and the life that they live. That spoke of who they are. It's very easy for us to quote, upon Mount Zion shall be deliverance. And they jump another, the other statement. And they say, and the sons of Jacob shall possess their possession. Now, Lio, don't jump it. Upon Mount Zion shall be what? And what? And holiness. It is only then the sons and daughters of Jacob shall possess their possession. For without holiness, you cannot see God. And without God, you can do nothing. Praise the Lord. Holy life. That the accuser of brethren will come and he will find nothing in you to accuse you. That's why we tell the people, every commandment that you know of in the Bible, try to keep them. And his commandments are not burdensome, they are not grievous. Pay your tithe. So that the time will come, you will stand to challenge that situation by reference to it. Amen. If you make vow, fulfill it. Somebody came to me. I made vow in my former church, but I discovered that that church is, I didn't like the church. The man was 419. Can I pay it here? I said, now here you make the vow. Go to where you make your vow and fulfill your vow. Fulfill your vow. That is where you made it. Devil will use it against you. I'm telling you. Praise the Lord. Do everything. Make sure you search your life and there is nothing Satan can use as a reason to stand with you. That's what we see in Zechariah chapter 5. Is it chapter 3 or so? The high priest Joshua. Zechariah. Chapter 3. The angel came to meet a high priest. And the demon was walking with him. Church, I am saying this. I know somebody is hearing me. I know. Who is hearing me? I'm satisfied. I think there are only 3 people safe. I was hoping for 4. You are more than that. Listen to what I'm saying. Because these principles are there for us to learn. Listen. I have said this and I will continue to say it. Satan, a demon, stood by a high priest. And Satan the angel could not conduct deliverance. That's why I say, what deliverance do they do in these churches? Where you will see a woman wearing trousers, contrary to the Bible, a woman dressed half naked, a woman put those mommy water attachment on their head, a woman will dress like a masquerade, and then a man of God will poof. Then you stand up and say, it is over. It is God, it is over. It is over according to what? According to you, according to the devil. People don't understand these things. Until the angel was rebuking the demon. The demon refused to go. You can read it on your own. Then the angel stopped. Why will I? Look, the angel did deliverance. He quoted and quoted. The demon remained there. Then he took his attention away from the demon and looked at Joshua and found him wearing a tattered garment. Read that story. The angel did not face that demon again. The angel faced the high priest Joshua. And that is the reason why, hallelujah, we face you, particularly sisters and the young men who jump from woman to woman because you think you are attractive. And the sisters who think that you are beautiful when you look like that movie star. We keep telling you, watch it. As soon as the garment was changed, we didn't hear about the demon again. He disappeared. There is a spiritual law for deliverance. There is a spiritual law for deliverance. The accuser of the brethren, he was overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. Now, what is he accusing us of? He's certainly not accusing us of the sin that is under the blood. Our past sin. He's always accusing us of our present estate. He does not accuse you of the past. He accuses you of who you are now. It's not your past life, because you entered that water, you came out, it was washed away. What you are doing now, it includes unforgiveness. It includes the destruction of people's character through gossip. And it includes that stupid dresses that we put on. I don't know what the attraction really is. I don't know where we get the idea that that a woman will dress and allow people to see her labs. I don't know where that thing came from. And claim to confess holiness. When you are there, lusting, causing men to lust, you know every dress that is designed for a purpose. It is either designed to cover me up, or it is designed to expose some of me up. Why will a young girl, for instance, dress in a very tight skirt to show her buttocks and to show all her cleavages? And then, Pastor, I don't know, I'm always having disappointments. The men come. When they come, they go. You are not sincere. They came and they did something with you. When they got what they're looking for, they left. I beg, make I talk about Daniel. This will not waste my time. We talk, and the more you say it, the more they do it. The more. There is no, you say, the father doesn't like me. It is the father that does not like me. Which normal father will want his son to marry a prostitute? The day the father saw you, you didn't know that before he saw you, he asked the son to bring your pictures, make I see. And then he went to your Facebook. Now you want the man to approve you for his son. Praise God. They will remove that is the one that really makes me know that people are possessed. I am telling you, if anybody told you are beautiful like that, I am telling you, it's because that person too is possessed. There is no normal person that will look at a woman that the natural hair, eyebrow that God gave you, you go and remove it. Then after removing it, then you suddenly discover. It's madness. You suddenly discover that you look like a monkey. That is the truth. No, that's the truth. Okay. You know now. You know. If not, why not remove it and be moving about with it like that? You know. You suddenly discover. Hey? You started shaking your head. Hallelujah. Then you go carry black chalk. Come covenant there. Then those who will not remove it totally, they will design pussycat. There's a way they do it, design pussycat. We don't see now. We are not blind now. Did you not do it for us to see? You did it for us to see now. And anytime we see you like that, we just see an unconverted woman. Not him more. We just see a woman that is, and you say, my husband like it like this. The two of you are possessed, you and your husband. All Christian women should put that type of thing. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. And the second thing we see there is that, and they love not their lives, verse 11, and they love not their lives unto the death. Three things. The overcoming power They overcame by the blood of the Lamb, the covenant. Number two, the word of their testimony. And number three, even their lives, they didn't love it. They were ready to die. Even to the death, they withstood the accuser of the brethren. And that was the testimony of Daniel. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. And because of that, Daniel was promoted. Amen. As the king promoted Daniel and destroyed all the enemies, amen. We too, there is a promotion that is awaiting us. Hallelujah. The overcomers, Revelation chapter 3. Let's read it. Every age had a promise to the overcomers. Our own age is the Laodicean church age. And our own promise to those who will overcome the spirit of this age is in chapter 3 and verse 21. It says, to him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and am set down with my Father in his throne. Which throne is talking of the millennium? If you overcome the spirit of this age, you are certainly going to reign with Christ in the millennium. Just like Daniel, a type of the bride, was also given dominion in Persia. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Yes. Please take note of the types that Daniel fulfills. And listen very well to catch a picture here. You will notice in Revelation chapter 6, there's a picture we need to catch. Very, very important. In Revelation chapter 6, we have six seals there in chapter 6. Now, the fifth seal is in verse 9. And when he had opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar the souls of them that were slain for the word of God and for the testimony which they held. I say it again, so that you know who they are. I've spoken about this before in case you are hearing me for the first time. I saw under the altar, the souls of them that were slain for the word. For the word of God and for the testimony which they held. And they cried with a loud voice saying, how long, O Lord, holy and true, dost thou not judge and avenge our God on them that dwell on the earth? Verse 11. And white robes were given unto every one of them, and it was said unto them that they should rest yet for a little season until their fellow servants also and their brethren that should be killed as they were should be fulfilled. That means, and this is referring to the Jews that were killed during the Holocaust, in the time of Hitler. Over 6 million of them were killed. Now, they said they were killed for the word of God. Which word of God? Just simple, because they are the people of the book. Nothing more. A lot of promises for the Jews that make them special. That is all Satan was envious of. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. And for the testimony which they held. Which testimony? Testimony of the fact that they are the chosen ones. They are the special people on earth. They are the descendants of Abraham and the descendants of Isaac. And because of that, they were beheaded. They were killed. And The fact that they were under the altar calling upon God, how long will you wait to revenge for us, those who are on the earth? How long? It shows that they were Jews. Because under grace, we are to forgive. It's only a Jew that is under the law. Do me, I do you. That's why we know they are Jews. Now, the angel said, wait first until your fellow servants who will be killed like you, who should be killed like you, is fulfilled. It has been determined. Just wait until it is fulfilled. That means what they went through during the days of Hitler, there is another period that is coming up. For another set of Jews, your fellow servants. And that time is the period of the Antichrist. When, according to verse 27 of Daniel chapter 9, the covenant, in the middle of that covenant, is broken and then he's let loose against the Jews. The last 3.5 years, and then he comes and descends on the Jews. Unless you have that mark, you will neither buy nor sell. And Jeremiah 25 calls it the time of Jacob's trouble. And Daniel chapter 9, chapter 12 also spoke about it. A serious stress that will come upon the Jews. And they are that group that we see in Revelation chapter 15. Can we open it? Verse 2. Revelation chapter 15 and verse 2. Revelation 15. That group that we see in the sea of glass. Revelation chapter 15. Hallelujah. And let me read it. And I saw, as it were, a sea of glass mingled with fire, and them that had gotten the victory, a victory over the beast, and over his image, and over his mark. They got the victory. And over the number of his name, stand on the sea of glass, having the harps of God. Verse 3 says, and they sing the song of Moses, the servant of God, and the song of the Lamb. They sing the song both of Moses and of the Lamb. Why? Because they were Jews that were under the law. That is why we know that they are strictly the Jews. But this time, they are now converted. They now receive Christ. They now see Christ, as we see in the book of Zechariah, chapter 4, Zechariah chapter 12, Zechariah chapter 13. You read those stories there, and where Christ now comes after the rapture to reveal himself now to the Jews. Because they rejected and crucified him. Even though it's according to the plan of God, their eyes were blinding. And Apostle Paul in Romans chapter 11 and verse 25, where he says, for blindness in part has come upon Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles become in. They are blinded in part because they are going to be opened again. For they are not forsaken forever. And so all Israel shall be saved, according to Apostle Paul, because the gift and calling of God is without repentance. But for now, for our salvation, their eyes have been closed. Only the elect among them, who form part of those in the upper room, and part of those who are believing him now, known as the Messianic Jew. I have come across one. I met him in Israel, and he has promised me that he will come here when we shall be dedicating this church building. He's a Messianic Jew. They are believers of Christ, and yet they are Jews. They are the elect. praise the Lord. And that is why you see them singing both songs. It's for identification, to know that they were Jews who later got converted. And so, why are they seen in a sea of glass? Hallelujah. They are seen, in verse 2, they were seen, it says, and I saw as it were a sea of glass mingled with fire. That gives you the understanding of what trials they went through. The persecution they went through is portrayed like that. They passed through fire to be where they are, and they overcame. Praise the Lord. They refuse to take the mark. And if you refuse to take the mark, they will kill you. You refuse to take that mark 666. You refuse to worship that man. Amen. They will kill you. They overcame. So, we have therefore understanding why we did not see Daniel while Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were facing their trial. They were a type of the souls under the altar, under the fifth seal. They suffered their own, but Daniel will suffer his own also later. And so Daniel is a type also of the Jews that will be persecuted in the hand of the Antichrist. And remember that it is concerning worship. They told them that the Darius should pass a decree that within that period they should make no petitions to any other god other than Darius, the worship of man. And in the last week of Daniel's 70 weeks, the last 3.5 years of that week, also, there is going to be a decree by a man. You must worship him, or you will not be allowed to buy or sell. A type of Darius decree. And so that is why we place them. It gives us a picture of this divine agenda. That is all. It makes things clearer and clearer and clearer for us. That is what we see as far as the persecution of Daniel and Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego is concerned. And remember also that it was then that all those who persecute, you know, the last 3.5 years, when we come to Daniel chapter 9, we'll break it down again. So that you understand this better, I'm making reference to it. The last 3.5 years ends the period of the times of the Gentiles that was revealed to Nebuchadnezzar in his dream, those 4 kingdoms. The last stage is when the Jews are facing persecution and Christ himself comes. And remember that the stone kingdom ends the last kingdom, which is the Roman Empire. And it is the prince from Rome that comes and desires to be worshipped as the Antichrist, the Pope of Rome. Praise the Lord. It's coming from the Vatican that will desire to be worshipped like Darius. He will pass the decree. He will sign the decree. And if you refuse to worship him, persecution starts. But while that is going on, then the scriptures that I will wait till the time, we will look at those scriptures again, that fulfill ending the Gentile times of the Gentile. For God, Christ himself, will end it with all of us coming down in what is known as the day of the Lord, to end all man's rule and establish our own kingdom with our Father, the Lord Jesus, the King of Kings, and we ruling in all our provinces. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. And so, he ended, if you notice that the story of the end of the times of the Gentile is what we see in Matthew chapter 25, the judgment of nations. That is when he comes and causes a separation, the sheep by the right, the goats by the left, and then, you know, he packs them. And we have made reference to this several times. I'm rounding up so that I can close. He packs them up, throw one side, destroys the goats, and sends the sheep, the group he called the sheep, into the kingdom. And there will be those elements that will now repopulate the earth during the 1,000 years reign. Now, he said something. Let's read Matthew. Let me just point a few things and then we close. Now, in Matthew chapter 24, just take note of these scriptures, please. As an admonishment. Matthew chapter 24. He starts from verse 32. He starts from verse 32. Let me just rush this. He said, now learn a parable. Learn a parable of the fig tree. He said, when his branch is yet tender and putteth forth leaves, you know that summer is nigh. So likewise, ye, when ye shall see all these things, know that it is near, even at the doors. Verily I say unto you, this generation shall not pass till all these things be fulfilled. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. He's giving us a pointer. He's giving us a pointer concerning his second coming. Listen, because we have spoken about this several times. There is a primary application, Pastor Francis, and there is the secondary application. Thank you. We always look at that fig tree as Israel. Yes, that is one of the applications, whether it is secondary or primary, but there is another application. Because this is what he said. In verse 32, now learn a parable of the fig tree. When his branch is yet tender and putteth forth leaves, you know that summer is near. Then, watch the way he speaks in verse 33. He says, so likewise ye, when ye shall see all these things. Which things? They are the things spoken of in the earlier verses. It's not about the fig tree. The fig tree is the handwriting on the wall. The fig tree is the signs and of the season. We always know that, yes, the fig tree is Israel, and we have interpreted it to mean when you will see Israel stand as a nation, the generation that sees Israel stand as a nation will not pass away until they see the coming of the Lord. It's an application. But when I saw verse 33, so likewise ye, when ye shall see all these things, know that it is near. That is the coming of the Lord. Even at the doors. Which things? He started from verse 4. The spirit of deceit. The coming of Antichrist. People being deceived. People saying, I am anointed. I am Christ. He talked about kingdom rising against kingdom, nations against nations. He spoke about famines. He spoke about pestilences. He spoke about earthquakes in diverse places. And he said, all these are the beginning of sorrows. And then he said, when you begin to see all these things, and we are seeing them now, and this is the generation that is seeing all these things, a sign for us to know that the end is near. The end is near. And then he continued the next verse. He said, but of that day and hour knoweth no man. Because the story of Daniel takes us to the rounding up of God's activities on earth. How it will end. Before Christ will come here and take over the earth. But of that day and hour knoweth no man. No. Not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. Then he added, but as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking and marrying and giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark and knew not until the flood came and took them all away. So shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. Verse 42. Watch therefore, for you know not what hour your Lord doth come. But know this, that if the good man of the house had known in what watch the thief will come, he would have watched and would not have suffered his house to be broken up. Therefore, be ye also ready, for in such an hour, as you think not, the Son of Man cometh. He continued in verse 45. Who then is a faithful and wise servant, whom his Lord has made ruler over his household, to give them meat in due season? Blessed is that man whom his Lord, when he cometh, shall find so doing. Verily I say unto you, that ye shall make him ruler. He shall make him ruler over all his goods. But, and if that evil servant shall say in his heart, my Lord delayeth his coming, and shall begin to smite his fellow servants and to eat and drink with the drunkard, the Lord of that servant shall come in a day when he looketh not for him, and in an hour that he is not aware of, and shall cut him asunder and appoint him his portion with the hypocrites. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Then he went to chapter 25, from verse 1 to verse 13, and spoke of the wise and the foolish virgins. And he answered, and he finally concluded in verse 13. He said, watch therefore, for you not neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh. And then he continued again from verse 14 up to verse 30, the parable of the talents. And he ended that talent by saying, to the one that didn't profit with it. Verse 28. Take therefore the talent from him and give it unto him which had 10 talents. For unto everyone the heart shall be given, and he shall have abundance. But from him the heart not shall be taken away even that which he had. And see where he ends. Cast ye the unprofitable servant into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Then he concluded the judgment of the Gentiles, the goats, and the sheep. And that is the parable that is fulfilled in the last 3.5 years before Christ comes. Why am I pointing this out? I discovered that from Matthew 24 and Matthew 25, everything he said there was to let us understand the categories of people that will be around at the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. And a warning to us, so that he who thinks he stand, he will take heed, lest he falls. Praise the Lord. Because in the flood of Noah, it caught the people unawares. It was no sin that they were marrying and giving in marriage. They were drinking and they were making merry. That is not the sin. What he's saying is that they were living their life as if there would be no end. That is the problem. They were not ready for the soon coming destruction. And of all the millions of people on earth, only 8 souls we are saved. We are to learn a lesson from there. He gave the parable of the 2 servants. The servant that was busy giving out meat in due season. That one was blessed and made a ruler over his goods. And that is in the millennium. But the second servant, that is known as the evil servant, who is there smiting the people up and down, and you may not understand until you come across some of these enter message people who are supposed to be part of the ministry of restoration and see the nonsense they are doing. They have become lords over the Lord's inheritance. They have bewitched them. The freedom you people have in this church, you don't know how blessed you are to find a ministry like this. A ministry, some of them, hallelujah, told Pastor Weston for associating with me when this church started. Because he invited us to their ministry in Jos. And that brother in Kano was their, what do you call it, bishop. He told him, who told you to invite Pastor Moses, Brother Moses, to your program without him knowing? He can see how it is. He said, if you don't cut off from him, I will curse you. That is how they are. You feel free, you members of this church, you have been going to other intermediate churches, even other denominations. You come and even tell me you went there. You can't try that in an intermediate church. Can't try that. You are sick. Instead of going to be healed, the man there has no faith for healing. You will sit down and die. They will tell you it is your cross. Nothing. You need to see them. Do you know that some of my close friends who decided to follow the man in Somolu, the reason they cut off from me is so that they will be accepted over there. Nothing more. When one of them came all the way from Boni, who used to come and stay in my house, but as soon as I started following that man, he came to Lagos for their program. I said, Abba, you came, you didn't even plan to say hello to me. He said, Bramosi, you know, you have to understand now. I said, understand what? You know, it will sound one kind now that I came for that program and then I branch your place. He's afraid. When the brother in Port Harcourt was with me, I encouraged him that he wrote a book. Very intelligent young man who never went to the university, only secondary school. But when this man sits down to write, I saw that gift. I brought him close to me. I saw it. I encouraged him. He's the one that wrote the book titled Behold the Antichrist. And that book sold like anything. In a convention at Ottawa, the bishop there lifted it up before thousands of people and said, if you want to know about the Antichrist, read this book. My phone number used to be on that book. I know how many calls I received. That was before the GSM came up. From all over, ordering for copies. But now he cannot write again. Anytime, because I have used it to preach, I made reference. People, you know, call me, they want that book. I told him, I said, any more copies, or give me the permission to print it. I will print it. I will put everything. I will not add, I will not subtract. I will put your name, put everything. Just let me print it. I know why I was doing that. Everything about the former book, I sponsored it. The foreword there was written by me. Everything. But as soon as he joined them, who are you to write a book? He's the only one that can write. And so I said yes. He's reviewing it. He's reviewing it. You have been reviewing it for the past 2 years. I know what his problem is. One from Bonnie wrote the book. I was giving him, sir, I want to take a look at it. This is my thought on this. The man told, threw it back at him. Who told you can write? You are to follow the lead apostle. The head is established and everybody is supposed to just re-echo what he's saying. What do you want to write again? That is who this scripture is referring to. You disagree with him, he will finish you. Go and see that man use language behind his pulpit, writing it down. When you disagree, and that idiot from Ijesha, and that idiot from Singapore, that son of a devil from Singapore, that is the language of a minister. They are in the Bible. He's the second servant there. You will never enter the kingdom unless you repent. You have to give meat in due season. We are in the season of perfection. And above all, we are in the season of brotherly love. Brotherly love that will bring us together and make us stand as true brethren ready to go home. And somebody is causing more and more division. Then he came to the wise virgins. The foolish ones. Hallelujah. The wise ones, they had oil. They entered. The foolish ones, they did not have oil. What happened to them? The door was shut against them. It's referring to us in this age. Number four. And the servant that refused to use his talent, and they are sitting down here today now. Even your own reward will be collected from you and given to me. Where they shout here every time. You refuse to use your gift. I have said it several times. Your church, your former church will not allow you to use your gift. You don't know it is a satanic agenda to rob you of your position in the millennium. And you come to a church like this, where the liberty of the spirit is here, you still sit down and do foolish humility. I know they. That is what he said. I know they. They say, hey, you're not there, Abby? You're not there, Abby? It will not be your portion in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. The one that profited, he was given cities to rule. Praise the Lord. And finally, in Matthew 25, those Jews, those Gentile nations and people that helped the Jews during the tribulation, they entered the millennium. But those who refused, who were instead creating more problem, instead persecuting the Jews the more, at the coming of the Lord, they are destroyed. Those who helped, they are allowed to enter the millennium. That's something we learn about the destruction of the enemies of Daniel, who thought to persecute him and throw him into the den of lions, but they ended up being the ones there, and Daniel got his reward for standing for the truth. Therefore, he said, watch and pray. Watch, because we don't know the time, the hour, the day that he is coming. So make your calling and election sure. For many, many, many are called, few are chosen. Let's hear a number from the musicians. Let's hear a number from the musicians. Oh.
I dream that great judgment morning had dawned and the trumpet had blown. I dream that the nations had heard to judgment before the white throne. From the throne came a bright shining angel and stood on the land and the sea and swore with his hands raised to heaven that time has no longer. Told of your faith, they cried for the rocks and the mountains, the prayer, for their prayer were too late, and
clap your hands for Jesus.